The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
The doctor said, it appears that you have an inoperable brain tumor. And I always say it was like those words came like a fiery dart.
And neurosurgeon says it's inoperable because it's so deep in her brain that we would only do some sort of experimental surgery, which would leave her paralyzed for the rest of her life.
How Mark and Trenna Hinkins' radical faith carried them through. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda Lane joins me, and I'm excited to have Mark and Trenna Hinkins back on today.
Their first time with us was so impactful. We had to have them back.
I could be here all week, but I'm really excited because Trenna has a story that I want people to hear, and out of it, she has this book, God's Healing Word. But this is a tough subject for a lot of people I know,
it is.
And so I appreciate you being here, and we'll ask you some good questions, but take us back to a time where healing was something that you really needed for yourself.
Yes. As a child, I had asthma. I was allergic to everything, and I had terrible asthma. So, it was nothing to try to struggle to breathe, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And also, I was raised in a full gospel church. We believed in divine healing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I always went up for prayer, and it seemed like, where is my healing, And then the light turned on. I always like to turn the light on. When somebody brought us some books, Brother Higgins' books, on the authority of the believer and how to take the word like medicine, I learned. So it was like, there's hope, I'm not getting a miracle, but I can take the word like medicine. And Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and it healed them. So from that point, I was 17 and I began to find scriptures in the Bible on healing. And I collected them in my notebook, and I began to go over them, sing songs about them. Then I met Mr. Faith here. And he wasn't going to put up with sick.
That's not your future. That's your past.
So I just continued on my journey. And along the way, he talked about the authority of the believer. And that's so important. One of the scriptures I meditated on was, I give you power or authority. In my name, I give you power. So I realized I have the authority. And then, of course, Mark 11:23, that we can speak. So that's the authority that the believer has. But there's another verse that really is key in that book is Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. So I began to consume the Word of God just like that. That's a prescription and that God gives us. Attend, pay attention to the Word of God. Incline your ear to my saying. How do you hear the Word of God? You say it, then you hear it. It's good to hear others say it.
That's right.
But when you speak the word of God in the truth, you get more benefit.
That's right.
Amen. Incline your ear to my saying, let them not depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So I found that as I looked at the word, I dug it out, found that word. It was life to me. And as I spoke the word, looked at that word, then my imagination, there's something about not only hearing it, but looking at the Word of God. It's so full of life, right? It's full of power. It changes things. It came off the page. I would meditate. It was like it was alive. It started coming into my eyes. And faith came. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So what I felt was that the Word of God was growing in volume inside of me, and that the sound and the loudness of sickness and defeat and impossible, you know, was being diminished. And there came a day, well, Mark was out of town. He was preaching somewhere, and I was home with the kids, and I'd been meditating on the Word. And I woke up with an asthma attack. Oh, I was so mad. You know, something happens when you get mad. And that night I got really angry. I thought, And it was like the Holy Spirit, not every sickness is a spirit of infirmity. No. But the Holy Spirit said, that is a spirit of infirmity. Mm-hmm. Use your authority. Mm-hmm. So I did. You know, in 1 Peter 5, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
In the book, you call it faith having an attitude. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Well, you stand up instead of being afraid. You stand up in who you are in Christ. You've got the armor of God on, got the Word of God in your mouth. It's not just something somebody else says, but you got it. You know it. You become one with the Word. Words with you. So I said it, and I said, you spirit of infirmity, get out of here. Get off of my body, asthma. You will not control my life in Jesus' name. I began to quote the scriptures. Wow. You know, it's not the scriptures somebody else said, but that Jesus said, it is written. And then he said, it is said, you know, and the devil left. So I said, and that really was the beginning of my foundation on healing. So those scriptures were already in my heart. I cannot emphasize the benefit of feeding on the Word of God, so that when the enemy comes, you're ready. You got your armor on. And that night I was in church. Mark and I pastored at church, and we had Sunday night church. And I'd been having a tremendous headache that night in church. I had to leave the service. It was so painful. And when I went out, I had a seizure.
Wow.
And I was back there alone. Somebody came and found me, and I ended up in the hospital. The next thing I remember, and you'll feel in the other gap, was that I started coming awake. Before I opened my eyes, it was like a fountain of living water, the Word flowing out of my spirit. Himself took your infirmities, bore your sickness. With His stripes you are healed. The strong spirit of a man will sustain your infirmity. And that was just like flowing.
Yeah, all those scriptures you have put in there are coming out at the right time.
Yeah. So when you plant a crop of the Word in you, it'll be there. It'll grow and be there.
The crisis
when you can't.
Is too late. If you haven't done it beforehand, the crisis, when the crisis comes, it's too late.
Yeah.
You need to have it. You did that. Yes. You already had it in you. So you're in the hospital.
Yeah.
And what happened then?
I opened my eyes, and there was a doctor at the end of the bed, you know, with that clipboard, looking real official. And he said, and Mark was there at the end of the bed, and he said, the doctor said, it appears that you have an inoperable brain tumor. And I always say it was like those words came like a fiery dart. But I had my shield up. Thank God, the sword of the Lord and the shield of faith, it was there. And it just, it didn't hit me. It didn't penetrate my consciousness. I did not receive that report. And then Mark was in the room.
And so the doctor, neurosurgeon says, your wife has a brain tumor. It's inoperable because it's so deep in her brain that we would only do some sort of experimental surgery, which would leave her paralyzed for the rest of her life. Basically, what happened is, thank God for the doctor. He's doing the best he can.
Sure.
But I told him, I said, you know, we have another doctor working on the case. We call him the great physician, Jesus Christ. And so I just did. I went in the hospital. She was there, and I stood at the end of the bed, and I said, Mr. Tumor, I would like to talk to you. Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, Mr. Tumor, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to you. You must be removed, cast into the sea, which means you're not coming back. It also means there'll be no evidence you were ever there. I command you to leave her brain and never come back in the name of Jesus. whew, I didn't have no choir. I didn't have no feeling. I was just standing there in front of a tumor, you know, and everybody staring at you like, what are you going to do now, preacher? And I said, well, I'm just going to act like the Bible's true. Simplest definition of faith. So I just said, no great feelings. And we had 8 days in the hospital, and I only let certain people in the room. We had 8 days of praise, speaking the
because
word and
praise.
Because
after you speak the word of faith,
yeah,
that's our part, and then the rest is God's part. Mm-hmm. But our part is to stay in position. So yeah, this is a good position to stay in. Praise God, praise and sing.
Yeah.
And Mark put this larger lady outside the door of my room.
With a list
she
of
had
who
a
can
list
get
of
in.
People who could come in. If you were not on that list, you couldn't get in that room.
Only because, those coming in.
Yes, you need an atmosphere of faith.
That's right.
And protect your, because at that time your emotions can be up and down. So it's really important to have words of faith and people of faith around you.
Or you could say God is not really going to resist the devil for you. In other words, you say Jesus already did everything he's going to do about it. Now he said you have the authority. So he said to me, the authority of the believer is not just available, it
is necessary.
Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not just some little thing that's interesting. It's necessary that you and I have to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, this is where I take my place. Mm-hmm. And Dad Hagin would say, the door of the supernatural opens by believing and speaking. So I realized I really don't have to move the tumor. My faith is in God. All I have to do is believe and speak and say, Mr. Tumor, I'd like to introduce you to God. God has more experience at getting rid of tumors than I do. So no pressure on me. Let's just give God praise. He is faithful. So we spent 8 days.
And
then the doctor said, well, we want to do surgery to determine what kind of tumor it is. And I said, well, if that's what you want to do. So he put the gizmo on her head.
Yeah, they prepped me up for this brain operation. That's interesting. So I got a gizmo on my head, and I'm on this gurney going down the hallway into surgery on my brain. But guess what? Psalm 107:20 happened again. Always look for Psalm 107:20. Yeah. He sent his word. Every moment that we need help, I'd say, okay, Lord, what do you say? What do you say? Because when you hear what he says and then you put it in your mouth, it comes alive, and that's your sword of the Spirit. Well, he sent Romans 8:11.
He gave you Romans 8:11.
Yes, he sent that to me, and I knew that. It was in my heart. Mm-hmm. That if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body by that same Spirit.
Wow.
And so
amazing.
I started laughing, you know.
So we're going to surgery.
And she's laughing.
And we're laughing. I'm like,
wow.
You know,
because David said, I will rejoice over your word.
It's
like I found a spoil.
Moment.
So I got happy. I said, oh, good, good. I could just imagine in my mind the Spirit that lifted
Christ.
Jesus out of the grave.
Living in
and him. Raised him up. Amazing. And he was perfectly fine. I saw that working in me. That Spirit's working in me. So to activate that, I didn't just cry. I didn't just, I'm grabbing that word and I'm laughing with it. And I got victory right here.
Yeah.
That's all I remembered.
Well, you know, our faith man, Smith Wigglesworth, he said, faith laughs at impossibilities. And so what you did is you took that word. The same Spirit lives in me, not just in heaven somewhere. He lives in me and he will give life to my body. And so you went into surgery laughing.
So our part is to believe the Bible, and his part is to perform miracles, do the impossible. You know, I can't explain everything, but I can believe God. I can believe his word.
Yeah.
So I came out, I was
and
in
then
that
you,
surgery.
You were in surgery, so you have nothing else to say right now. You were in surgery life for
I was out.
6 hours. And we're in the room and speaking and praising. And so after 6 hours, the neurosurgeon comes out and he says, Pastor, I don't know what to tell you. He said, the tumor that was on every test, it has disappeared. We cannot find it in her brain at all. And I said, I told you we have another doctor working on the case. And so it was like a miracle.
It is a miracle.
The tumor disappeared. But we still had, because he went into her brain, so we still had another year of challenges of her feelings and stuff.
From yeah, I was paralyzed surgery. On this side of my body because of the surgery. And then, but we went home and stayed in the Word. And the Lord sent me another word. He said, now, Mark 5 and
yeah,
verse
34.
This is the story about the woman who heard that people could touch Jesus' mm-hmm. clothes mm-hmm. and they would be well. Mm-hmm. Wow. And she said, I'm going to touch Jesus' clothes. I'm yes. going to get well.
Yes.
And that her faith and her confession.
What Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made
her.
You whole.
Yes.
Then what's the rest of it?
So she did
go
it.
Go in peace.
And so, yeah, the Lord told me this scripture, go into peace. Your faith has made you whole. Go into peace, the Amplified says, and be made completely whole. Mm. So in that time, I just got scriptures on peace. I did it. And Philippians 4, verse 6 says, don't have anxiety about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes under, guard your heart. The yeah. Amplified says it will mount a garrison
that's
over
right.
your heart.
Mm.
And in that, I believe that's really a part of receiving from God. Enter into peace because God's working. And don't get all anxious and upset, but just continually praise the Lord. And I'm whole. I'm well. I have no reoccurrences or anything. I'm so thankful.
Wow.
And give God the glory.
So what we saw in Mark 5:34, Dad Hagin said when he was healed of 7 incurable diseases, he said the preachers would say miracles are done away with, healing is done away with. And he said, the Lord said to him, have you ever heard any preacher say faith has been done away with? He said, no. And he said, you never will, because if faith has been done away with, nobody can be saved. So he said, if her faith made her whole, your faith will make you whole.
Yeah.
And so her faith, and you can see the progression of her faith speaking and acting and receiving and telling. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. So the Lord said to us, the same faith that made you whole will keep you whole. The same steps of faith. So we spend another serious year of going over those healing scriptures for perfect soundness from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Yeah. And when we would get together, we would just go over the Word, the scriptures, over the Word. That's the source of our faith. And then we would just speak the Word and agree with the Word.
Sounds like you had to march around Jericho quite a few times before those walls all the way fell. And I think it's where a lot of people stumble.
Yeah. You're right. That's a good show. You're right.
You know, yeah. You know, so. And when he said, hold fast your confession of faith, it's like,
it's serious.
There's a reason for your persistence.
Yeah.
Because everything don't change by Friday.
Holding fast takes effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, even when you talked about it being medicine, you have to take medicine
take
ongoing.
Take your medicine three times
ongoing.
A day.
Right.
If it says to take it internally, you can't
right.
rub it on your head. In other words, you got to take it, put it in your mouth.
That's right.
All right. I feel like we're kind of just scratching the surface here a little bit. So I would point people to the book, God's Healing Word by Trina Hankins. And I will say this, I would love to send that book to you today if you would help us. I believe that giving water to people who need it is a form of healing. It's a form of medicine because if you've got tainted water, you just get sick. And so our effort to fight sickness is through Water for Life. And we're going to invite you into that. So if you'll take a look at this, I really hope you'll say, you know what, I want to receive healing from God in every way I can, because I always ask for it when I'm sick. Mm-hmm. But I want to give healing. And when it's in your power to do some good, don't hold back. Watch this and you'll see how.
The Nile River, the longest river in the world. Long associated with the biblical stories of Moses, for millions of people who live in Africa, it is still considered a primary source of life. But for decades now, it has also delivered illness and even death due to contamination. Yet, in countries like South Sudan, it remains the main water source for its people.
I'm here with this mother, her name's KK, and her little baby called Alon, and she's just been explaining to us how She travels down to the river here, her only source of water. She connects this water that's in the bottle here. I mean, you can see just how dirty that water is. I can only imagine how contaminated it is, but what I can tell you is that I can feel the effects of the contamination of this water just by touching this child. The child's burning up with fever. It probably has some form of a waterborne disease as a result of this dirty water that the mother's having to give to its child. And maybe you don't understand what's going on here. Maybe you look at this and you say, but how? How does that mother give her child that water? I would never give my child water that looked like that. Well, she feels the same as you. The only difference is she doesn't have any option. This is the only water in this area. It's the only water she can give to her child. And it might be the very thing that steals her child's life, but her child will die without water. So water that might make her child sick is better than no water at all. You say, but what do we do about that? I mean, what can we do? How can we help that mother? How can we rescue this precious little life? Well, it's so easy. You see, this one life can be saved by one gift. And every time you make that gift, you're saving another life. As you say, yes, I can save 3 or maybe 5 or 10, what you're really saying is, I'll save 3 little Ilons. I'll help 3 mothers like KK to rescue their child, to give them the option of clean water, the option that I have. Please, help us today. Help KK. Don't do it for me. Do it for this mother who loves her child as much as you love yours. And do it for this precious little life, a life that doesn't deserve to be stolen by a waterborne disease.
You know, Belinda, it's hard to watch a child drink that dirty water.
Randy, I don't even like to be this vulnerable that I had to turn away the first time that I was given this video to watch. I had to turn my eyes. I thought they're letting the baby drink that water. And then it dawned on me, that's the water this child drinks all the time.
Every day, yeah.
This is the water.
No doubt. It is hard to watch. And a lot of viewers have asked us, why wouldn't you stop them? Mm-hmm. And I've been there. And the reality is you can hand your water bottle, because we carry them in, to a child who needs a clean drink of water. And in seconds, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And what do they have left?
They don't have anything left.
Yeah, and so we don't stage it. We're not out handing dirty water to people, but that's what they do every day.
It shows the reality.
That's the reality.
This is their reality.
This is what they do every day.
It's really true.
And so, yeah, if I could, I would walk into a village and I would hand a clean water to every child, and you'd do that multiple times a day, every day, over and over, and you would stop what is one of the leading causes of death for children under 5. I can't do it alone.
No.
You can't do it alone.
What you would be doing there would be temporary, and we're looking for something permanent.
That's it. I mean, in a sense, we're asking people to say, let's go hand clean drinking water to people, not just for a day.
That's right.
Not just for a short period of time, but for life. I got to tell you, if we didn't have the solution to the problem, it would be very, very difficult to visit those villages and walk away and just say, that's too bad. You don't have any clean drinking water. But I know that we go back into those villages, we drill a water well, we get deep enough to get clean drinking water, we construct a well that's going to last for an average of 70 years. It provides clean drinking water to people that desperately need it. It's a matter of life and death. And so it's an honor to be a part of an organization that does that. But this organization only exists because of your support. It's because so many of you that watch Life Today have said, you know what, I want to give clean drinking water to 10 people. Here's a gift of $48. That's what that does in effect. Many of you have said, I'd like to give clean drinking water to 30 people. That's what your gift of $144 does. Many of you, like, I think I can say this, Belinda, Mark Hankins said,
yes,
I want to give you a gift of $4,800 because I love what you do. He's been to Africa.
It's amazing.
I want to give a well. And what a blessing. That's how this works. Everybody doing what part they can. Mm-hmm. We're asking you to do your part today because it is urgent. The need is there, but we have the solution. You are the solution. Together, We can turn death into life. Will you go online, go to the phone? Make the best gift you can. Let's give them water for life.
Every day, far too many lives are lost to waterborne disease. And tragically, children under the age of 5 are the most vulnerable. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give desperate mothers hope and precious children a future by helping provide clean, life-giving water before it's too late. Our goal this year is to drill 350 water wells in areas where the need is greatest, but it won't be possible without you. Today, your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. In thanks for your gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Spiritual Health. This beautifully crafted prayer book will meet you in the places where anxiety, grief, and spiritual weariness run deep, guiding you through prayers for inner peace, emotional healing, and intimacy with God. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Your Life of Prayer bundle. This collection includes Prayers for My Spiritual Health, along with Prayers for My Physical Health and the Life Prayer Journal, three companions to help strengthen your walk with Christ. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
We really do need to hear from you today. Please go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. I know I've been there, I've seen it. What you do today will make a difference in someone's life. And you know, if you request God's Healing Word by Trina Hankins, we'd love to send it to you because they brought us a bunch of books just so we could give them to you. So I want to say thank you guys for being here.
Amen.
Thank you for your gift and the books that you've given us and your support. Most of all, thanks for the encouragement.
Yeah, it's going to help so many people.
We've been blessed by the ministry here for a long time, so we're blessed to be back here.
Your parents have always spoken words of faith to me, and I watch them, and I love them. I'm so excited to be here on the set with you.
Well, it's great. You've been a real blessing. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of you out there. Please do come back for more Life Today.
But when the Bible talks about sin, particularly under a kingdom, it's more social justice than personal morality.
Tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.